It's time for Hoag Health Radio. Here's your host, Deborah Howell.
Hello, and welcome to our show. Thanks so much for listening and for telling a friend. You're welcome to send any questions or comments to me by email through the Hoag Hospital website at hoaghealth.com. Today, we're speaking with Dr. Chris Iyer. He's the medical director of the Mary and Dick Allen Diabetes Center at Hoag Hospital. Welcome, Dr. Iyer.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for being with us. And now, I'm wondering if you could walk us through what happens when a patient first comes to the Mary and Dick Allen Diabetes Center at Hoag.
When the patient is referred to us by physicians in the community, they ask for appointment at the moment for diabetes education. Diabetes education consists of certified diabetes educators who will discuss with them about their diet, will discuss with them about various aspects of management of diabetes. In the near future, we will also have management of diabetic patients in addition to the education by physicians who are endocrinologists, podiatrists, and ophthalmologists. We already have a children's section, Children's Hospital of Orange County, with their endocrinologists have a fully comprehensive service. We hope to have comprehensive diabetes service that will be available in the very near future, within the next 4 weeks.
Fantastic.
At the Diabetes Center.
Well, we'll have to have you back on when you guys are open and let us know exactly what's going on there. Now, do you have on-site facilities for exercising or physical therapy, or is it more just treatment, medical treatment?
Well, we do have adjacent to us physical therapy and exercise program, but at the moment we are building that program into our diabetes education, but the facility is adjacent to the physical therapy. The initial treatment will be essentially clinical management and medical management, and subsequently weight management and exercise.
Okay. If you were to give a percentage of importance to the physical part of this in terms of exercising, what would it be? Would it be 40%? Would it be 70%?
For those patients who are likely to become diabetic, we call them at risk, diet and exercise is 100%.
Okay.
Medication may contribute later, but those who have already become diabetic, even in them, diet, exercise, weight reduction are the key elements and components of management. Medications are in addition. There will come a time when the patient cannot do without medication and insulin. But for those patients with type 2 diabetes, exercise, diet, weight reduction are always the key elements.
How much physical activity are we talking about? 30 minutes a day? And are we talking about anaerobic or aerobic? Fill us in.
The current recommendation is 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week, but there's no harm, and it'll probably be beneficial to extend it to 7 days a week. And as some of you might know, recently women somehow need more exercise than men do. In terms of activity, aerobic activity is excellent, but you can mix it with weight training, resistance, and other form of activity as long as physical activity continuously for 30 minutes.
I'm just curious, if you're in a wheelchair, would the activity above the waist, you know, be effective?
Extremely effective. As a matter of fact, in elderly population, weight training and resistance training has also been proved to be useful in reducing the hemoglobin A1C. Yes, the answer is physical activity involving any and all parts of the body will be useful.
Fantastic. Now, what about counseling for the families of diabetes patients? Do they get guidance on how to cook meals for diabetic patients and how to shop at the grocery store?
At the Mary and Dick Allen Diabetes Center, we believe that people who have diabetes are not the only ones who are affected, the family members. We actively encourage patients who have diabetes to come with their family members because it is a disease of the community. It is a disease of the family. Yes. Counseling for the family is an important part of our education here. We encourage them to establish meal plans. We encourage them to shop properly. Yes, it is not only the person who is affected, but the family also need education and help.
Let's bust one of the myths. Sugar. Does eating a lot of regular sugar, as in candies and cookies and waffles and things like that, lead to diabetes?
Well, it is not that if you eat them, you will get diabetes. If you have poor eating habits, like you said earlier, eating donuts and fatty food, and if you have a tendency for diabetes, and if you have not been exercising, it will bring about diabetes. But eating sugar alone should not be considered as a cause of diabetes.
Thank you. You've heard it from one of the foremost experts in the field. Eating sugar does not necessarily lead to diabetes. However, in conjunction with other fatty foods and lifestyle, it could be a contributing factor, right?
Correct.
Okay. Now, what else can parents do to protect their kids from getting diabetes?
Excellent question. As I told you in the earlier segment, young children are nowadays getting type 2 diabetes. I've heard my pediatric endocrinology colleagues telling me 12 and 13-year-old children are weighing in at 200 to 210 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And that is directly, that is directly due to bad eating habits, lack of exercise, and poor nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
In order to avoid diabetes, you need to reduce overweight. In order to reduce overweight, you need to encourage good eating habits and increased exercise.
Okay, so, you know, we were going to do it before we ran out of time. I would like for you to fill for us a perfect grocery bag full of foods for a diabetic patient. And let's start with the produce section.
Lots of green vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
Not potatoes, not yam, but green leafy vegetables will be an important component. There should be some meat and non-fat milk. And if there is going to be some carbohydrate, it could be in the form of the green leafy vegetable. They are also carbohydrates. So an ideal will be a portion of meat, leaf vegetables, fruits, and non-fat milk.
Anything that should absolutely, under no condition, go into that grocery bag?
I would not take any canned soda. I would not take any carbonated drink. Plain water is much better than any of those.
Okay. All right. Very good. And, you know, mineral waters, things like that, teas are always good, right?
Yes. Leafy green vegetables are perfect examples of what the body needs.
Now, when you say, are you talking broccoli? Let's get really specific here.
Mm-hmm.
Green leafy.
Cabbage, broccoli, cauliflower, beans, peas, they're all very good.
Okay.
They have some carbohydrates, but they have complex carbohydrates.
And asparagus, of course, is right in there, too.
Yes.
Very good. Okay, now we know what goes in the grocery bag. Okay, we've cooked properly. We've picked up a little bit of our, you know, activity during the week. We're starting to see changes for the better. What symptoms start to go away as we improve our lifestyle?
As I said, if you have a tendency for diabetes, or if you're at risk for diabetes, you may not have any symptoms, but you will start feeling better as you exercise. You will lose weight, and your attitude changes, and you're able to perform many of your functions much better. Most of my patients who have lost weight feel so much more comfortable when they have lost weight, and they feel that they are able to think better, concentrate better, work better. So subjectively, you start feeling better. And
mm-hmm.
if you have diabetes, the blood sugars will drop, and the average blood glucose measured by hemoglobin A1C will start dropping. All these things will result in better outcome down the line.
That's fantastic. Now, does it matter when in the day, like you exercise, would it be a good idea to take a walk after dinner, for example, to help for the digestion process?
Well, walking at any time is good. Some people find it easier to do it in the evening. I find it easier to do early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Exercise at any time is good. Exercise is good for the body and soul.
Okay, and so it doesn't matter when, just do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
They have these new shoes out, I've noticed, that they're called the gym, you know, the shoe with a gym built in. What do you think about that?
I do not know anything about that. I must go and look for it. I don't know.
Well, I'm thinking then just if you're a housewife and, you know, you're so busy with things, you have a job, but maybe you put those shoes on and you get your 30 minutes just by walking around the house and doing the things that you normally would do in a given day.
Yes. Yes. Exercise at any time, by any means, is always good.
All right. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe it. Again, the time has flown. We thank you so much for your time, Dr. Iyer.
Thank you very much for asking me to participate.
And thanks for all the good that you do. We've been talking about diabetes as well as important advances in treating it and preventing it with Dr. Chris Iyer. It's been truly instructional. You can also listen to a podcast of this show at hoaghospital.org 24 hours a day and on demand in case you miss something or just want to hear it again or share it with a friend. You can download it anytime onto your iPhones, your Shuffles, your iPods, and give this valuable information to your friends so they can listen to it whenever they have time. I'm sure you have a friend or two who could benefit from this discussion. This is Deborah Howell for Hoag Health Radio. It's been a pleasure to be here with you. Have a wonderful weekend, and please stay tuned. There is much, much more to come on Health Radio.